our website, you have a surprise today. It's not Brother Larry. He's taking a day of vacation, and he will be back next week. So we're glad you're here viewing with us. We're glad for our people that are here today, and I hope today will be a blessing. I'm preaching on this subject, accept the punishment. We read those scriptures in our Bible reading over in Leviticus in chapter 26, and I've read the Bible through several times, many times, for quite some time now, and you know, reading the Bible never gets old. You can read a book, and it gets old reading a book. And I've done that several. There's books I've read several times, and I read the same thing over again, and I get that. But you know, when you read the Bible and you can read it over and over and over again, you're always going to miss something. And I've been reading the Bible through a lot of years, and I know I've read that passage of Scripture in chapter 26, but for the first time a few weeks ago, that phrase jumped off the page and hit me right in the face. Accept the punishment. And the reason it hit me like it did is because, what was going on in chapter 26, God was telling them what he will do for them in the promised land as long as they obey him. And you can apply that to us too. As long as we obey God, there's things that he's going to bless our life. And the second thing he was telling them, he was letting them know what would happen to them if they disobeyed him. He letting them know right up front what was going on. And the third thing he was telling them, he was letting them know what he would take place in their life when they confess their sin and they accept the punishment and they humble their hearts and for their sin. He would let them know. That's what took place in chapter 26. In the senior adult Sunday school class, we've been going through the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was maybe about the last hope for Israel at that time. He'd been preaching to them his whole life, telling them what was going to happen, and they thought he was a joke. They didn't like Jeremiah. They didn't like what Jeremiah had to say. But Jeremiah told them the truth, and you know what the Bible says about a prophet? You know a prophet or a preacher by what they say. If what they say comes to pass, you know he's of God. And everything Jeremiah had been telling them had been coming to pass, but they still did not like Jeremiah and what he had to say. And over in chapter 37 of Jeremiah, that's where we'll pick up this morning. When I read those passages in Leviticus, it made me think about what was happening to Jeremiah in that day. Their whole problem is they did not accept the punishment that God was giving them because they were being disobedient to God and what God had for them. Jeremiah had been telling them, you're going to go into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he's going to come down and he's going to take over Israel and we're going to go into captivity. And they said, and they accused Jeremiah of being a spy for the Chaldeans. They accused him of everything he could think of and told him he was a liar. You're not telling us the truth. You're trying to deceive us and give us over to another country. That's all you're trying to do, Jeremiah. But that's not the case. What Jeremiah was telling them, God gave Jeremiah to warn them that it's time to straighten up. And in chapter 37, it starts out with the king. Over in verse 16, when Jeremiah says there, Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah, the king of Israel at that time, sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house, is there any word from the Lord? I can tell you, folks, there's always a word from the Lord. Always. All you got to do is to open up this book, and you're going to hear a word from God. He's got something for us. Every person in this room, he's got a message for you every day of your life if you'll just open up this book and find out what it is. Listen, God's got the answer for everything you're going through in your life. God's got the solution to the problems that you're facing in your life. You're going to find the answers in his word is where you'll find it. He said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yeah, there is. But before I tell you, I want to say something to you, King. Why are you putting me in that dungeon? Would you promise me if I tell you the truth, would you not put me back in there? And for a time he wasn't. But there were some other people that came along and they didn't like what Jeremiah was saying. And they told the king, we need to get rid of that guy. We need to get rid of him. And they put him back in another dungeon. And it was in the mire. You know what the mire is? A little mushy. Human waste. That's where they put Jeremiah. That's what they thought about what Jeremiah was saying. They put him in that dungeon where the human waste was, and he sunk into his waste. And that's where he was at. Then there was a man named Abimelech. He came along and told the king, said, King, if you leave Jeremiah down there, he's going to die. We got to get him out of there. He didn't do you wrong. And you know he didn't, King. You know he's telling you the truth, and you just need to listen to him. So he allowed Abimelech to go get Jeremiah out of the dungeon. And they cleaned up Jeremiah, and they brought him before the king again in a private room. And he said, this is what he said to him. Then the king, in verse 14 of chapter 37, then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon, princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burnt with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house. He told Zedekiah, we're going into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar is coming with his army. He's going to take this town, and here's what you need to do. You need to go to the king of Babylon and surrender. And if you'll go to him and surrender, he'll let you live, and he'll take care of you and your family. But you want to know what Zedekiah did? He didn't. See, that was part of the punishment that the nation of Israel's got to live with because they wouldn't live right. But you know what Zedekiah did? He didn't accept the punishment. He took off, him and his family. He fled the city when Nebuchadnezzar came. But what happened then was he got caught. Nebuchadnezzar's army, they caught him, and they took him and his family back to Babylon. And you want to know what happened to him? Nebuchadnezzar killed his sons before him. He watched his own children die. And then Nebuchadnezzar had his eyes cut out. If he would have surrendered, that would not have happened. It all happened because he did not accept the punishment. That's why it happened. That was King Zedekiah. Then look at chapter 42. Verse number 1. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah, the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God. And remember, some of the people from Jerusalem had already been taken captive back to Babylon. Now here's a group that was still there. Now notice what happened. They said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. They're saying, Jeremiah, you go talk to God and find out what God would have us to do. And that's what we're going to do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. And they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be true, be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Said, whatever you God says, that's what we'll do. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. You're saying, we'll accept anything that you tell us. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from all his hand. All you have to do is accept your punishment, make confession of everything you've done in the past, and everything's going to be fine. Verse 12, and I will show you mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to turn to the land. Now notice verse 13. But if you say, we will not obey, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, we will go into the land of Egypt. Now, wait a minute. Did they tell Jeremiah they were thinking about going to Egypt? It's not there. God told Jeremiah they're thinking about going to Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord host of the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, to go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. That's what he told them. That's what's going to happen to you if that's what you do. Now let's go on. Verse 17. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury have been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know for certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye, now notice what he's going to tell them. For ye dissembled your hearts. That means to deceive or to go astray. For ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. Now I have this day declared it unto you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which ye sent me unto you. Now therefore, know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, in the place whithersoever ye desire to go. Now notice what they said to him. Verse 2 of chapter 43. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshea, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, Go not into Egypt, to sojourn there. They disobeyed. They went to Egypt. And you find out later in that same chapter, Jeremiah went with them. It's almost like his presence was there when it took place. He said, I told you so. I don't think he came out and said it, but his presence there, and they saw him, it's like, I told you so. Because you know what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came to Egypt, and he took over Egypt too. And they died in the land of Egypt. Why? Because they would not accept the punishment. God punished them because they were disobedient to him. All they had to do is follow what God had to say. And the same is for us. A lot of times we get ourselves in trouble. And we don't like the punishment that God's given us. But you know what he said? All you had to do is confess. When we make our confession, you know what we're doing? We're accepting the punishment. But if we don't accept the punishment, sometimes it continues on and may even get worse. So when we know we need to, when we've done wrong, and we need to be corrected sometimes. I know I got corrected a lot when I was a kid. Mama and me, we had a game we played. Some of you older folks will know what game I'm talking about. It's called Ring Around the Rosie. Yeah, Mama used to grab my hand, and I'd grab her hand, and I'd run around her, and she would make the cheeks of my butt rosy. That's our favorite. We played that quite often. One thing I learned from my mama, when she said something, she meant it. I think today, at this age where we live, and that's the problem with the kids today, most of them know that mom and daddy don't mean it. If we mean it, if we say it, we better mean it. Mama meant it, and I knew she meant it. But I was still rebellious, and I still got rosy a lot. And a lot of times, God deals with us the same way. Because we don't accept the punishment. Now, I'm gonna take this a little bit further. We got to be careful. Because a lot of times, even people sitting in this room right here today are going through some things that's tough. And by the way, just because somebody's going through something in their life that's tough does not mean it's punishment. As Christians, we don't, you know, I've heard the phrase, well, we're fruit inspectors. And to some sort we are. But listen, we're not to be judging somebody because they're going through something and accuse them of being punished. That's a mistake that a lot of Christians make. They may be just going through a trial in their life, a testing that God's putting them through. And you know what? When that happens, you know what we need to do? If we're going through some trial, we just need to accept the testing that God's putting us through. We need to accept that trial. You want to know why? Because God's working in somebody's life. And by the way, if somebody is being chastened by God, guess what? God's working in their life too. If we're going through something, remember, God's working in your life. Why? Because he's not through with you yet. He's still got plans that he wants to do with us, even in the trials. So we need to accept the trial, accept the testing, because he's got a plan in our life. I got some observations about the children of Israel and what happened. Number one, they did not recognize what the problem was. You know what they said? It's not our fault. A lot of people are that way today. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Why? Because they won't accept the punishment. They didn't do it. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. They don't accept responsibility. They did not recognize that it was for the sin that they had committed. They didn't think they did anything wrong. Well, we're being punished unjustly. They didn't confess their sin that they had done. And they did not accept the punishment for their sin. Listen, no healing. Now, this applies to whether it's punishment, whether it's a trial or testing. No healing can take place and no fellowship can take place between God and us until we accept what he's doing in our life. We need to just accept it and that God wants to work in our life. And folks, what we need to do when we see somebody going through some problems, no matter what the reason is, we need to be there for that person and pray for them, come along beside them and put our arms around them and let them know we're there for you. We're praying for you. If there's anything we can do, how can we help? That's where we miss out. That'll make a difference in a church when we come alongside people that are going through things. And when you come along beside somebody that's going through something, you know what you're doing? You're putting yourself in your place, their place with them, and going through it with them. And all a lot of people are doing is just looking for somebody to letting them know that somebody cares about them. And that is what God wants out of us as his people. Even people in the community that you know that are going through things, they are looking for a friend. That's where we need to be. Be a friend. A lost person needs a friend. We need to be that friend. Jesus, we call him our friend, don't we? You know what he does when we're going through things? He comes along beside of us to go through that stuff with us. Listen, folks, all you have to do is look around the corner, look down the street, and you'll find somebody that's struggling. God wants to use us to be a friend to that people, to that person. That's where we need to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this place, this church. You've done a great work in this church. And we know you want to continue to do what you're doing here. And we want you to keep doing it. We want you to keep using us to be a friend to people. And be there for them. Would you let them know, Lord, they're struggling, if things are tough, they're hurting, whatever they're going through in their life, you want to be there for them. You want us to be there for them too. Use us in their lives. We ask your blessing. And Lord, if someone here this morning doesn't know you, I pray, dear God, they'll trust you. Put their faith and trust in you, for you are that great friend that they need. Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.